Welcome to Your Podcast or Mine, where the creative minds behind the mic are interviewed. Now, let's get things started. Here's your host, Sherry.
Hey, welcome to Your Podcast or Mine. I'm Sherry. On today's episode, I'm speaking with John Baker, the creative mind behind the podcast, Too Lazy to Write. Thank you so much for joining me on the show, John. I appreciate it.
Oh, my God, I appreciate it. This is fantastic. I don't think I've ever been interviewed before, so this is great.
So why don't you give a short description of Too Lazy to Write to those who haven't heard the podcast before?
So, first of all, the reason I called it that was because, and this is really embarrassing, I wasn't sure if I should use the T-O-O spelling or T-O spelling, so I just used the number two. And I always wanted to write, but I just never could find the time. So I figured this might be a better way to do it. And I've always been interested in listening to what other people have to say. Because the whole idea behind the podcast is when I'm not just talking nonsense, you know, to fill 30 minutes on my own, I try to find people who I think have interesting stories. Because I really do believe that everybody has an interesting story to tell, whether they are, you know, the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, or, you know, the person who you hire to walk your dog, or whatever the case may be. I think everybody has something in their past that they want to talk about. And I've been fortunate enough in my life to have met and come in contact with a lot of people who I either went to school with or I knew from, you know, summer camp or just growing up, who've gone on to do some pretty interesting things. I always use this as one of my examples. The first woman I interviewed for my podcast was a woman I went to high school with from Ottawa, Ontario. And she was too, but now she runs a Thai boxing gym in Thailand with her partner. And I thought, like, how did she get from this place, from Ottawa, to Thailand? And sure enough, it was a great story. So just stuff like that. That's what I like to talk about. And I've somehow managed to find a lot of people who have been in the music industry who have just been so generous with their time to talk to me. And a lot of it comes from a fan point of view. And they've just been really generous and really sharing in their stories. So that's sort of it in a long nutshell.
Well, you've had some intriguing guests on there too. And regular people I find sometimes more interesting than like big stars. For example, like people might not know the name Susan Rogers, but she worked with Prince and during the time that he did Purple Rain, Sign of the Times,
right,
Around the World, you know, all those albums. So hearing that interview was really awesome because he worked with a lot of females, which I have always respected, and she was in the inner circle. So to get her perspective and then to see where her career had gone since then and her education has gone since then is rather interesting. But then you interviewed people like Rod Serling's daughter and CEOs of like a cowboy hats company.
Oh, yeah, the
and
Rock Mount guy. Yeah, he was great. Well, that's the thing. This company, Rock Mount, they've been around, like he was saying, for 85 years. It's a family-run business. And if you follow music, you've seen these shirts before. Like, everybody wears them. And again, the one tool that I've found is so useful is just reaching out to people on Twitter. And I think that's how you and I met, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I reached out to some people on Twitter, and sometimes they get back to you right away. And then with Steve from Rock Mount, that was like I had written to him, totally forgot about it, and an email showed up, and he's like, yeah, I'd love to do it. So, well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, well, let's go quickly back to the podcast before we start rambling on. So what
Absolutely.
Got you into podcasts, and what compelled you to start podcasting?
So I was working in radio for 12 years, and I went to school for radio broadcasting, and my biggest regret was that I didn't pursue a career on the air, which I always thought that it would be something I would be good at. I grew up loving to listen to the radio, and when everybody wanted more music, I wanted more talk, and that was my regret. So when we moved here to Virginia almost 4 years ago, I couldn't work because I didn't have a green card yet. And podcasting was something that was, you know, I thought, well, why not try this? Like, I have a computer, I have GarageBand on the Mac. And one of the things I've noticed is, you know, people ask on Twitter this questions like, what does it take to start a podcast, or is it complicated? I know people who do it out of, you know, professional recording studios. I do it out of a room in my house with a microphone and a kit I bought on Amazon for $150. So the ease of it was something that really appealed to me. And then once I came up with the idea of the sort of the theme of the show, I went with it. Now, having said all that, I expected my podcast was going to blow up and it was going to be the biggest thing in the world. And it's not. But I'm happy with what I do, and I'm happy with the people who listen to it, and more people listen to it. That's great. But I've been really happy with the feedback I've gotten. So that's why.
Yeah,
I
mean, you're a great interviewer, and I've listened to maybe about 5 or 6 of them. And even
wow.
The shows that, you know, you call them shows that you just like ramble on. It's
yeah.
not really rambling. You're just having a conversation, and I'm on the other end of it going, yeah, uh-huh, because like things like that happen to me. You were talking about your doorbell camera, and I live in Florida, so
okay.
sometimes a motion sensor will go on. I'll see like a gecko staring back at me, and I'm like, well, that's nothing to be worried about, you know.
Yeah.
Other people in Florida. Yeah. But 12 years in radio, what did you do in radio?
I wrote commercials. That was my life for 12 years. And it was fun at the beginning. And it was great because I wasn't married. I had a girlfriend and no real commitments aside from that, her and my dog. So that was it. But then as you get older and you get married and you have kids and you realize making $21,000 a year is not the way to go. So I had to leave. But during that time, it was interesting because when I first started writing commercials, there was so much creative freedom. We were able just to have a lot of fun. It was a great group of people that I worked with. So we were always bouncing ideas off of each other and celebrating our work. And somebody told me this, and I don't know if it's true or if it was their theory, but they said that after 9/11, the tone changed, and people weren't looking for humor as much in their advertising as they were looking for security. So it became a lot of like, I'm so-and-so from whatever Ford dealership. Why don't you come on down and we can talk and I'll sell you a car. So a lot of the ads went from very creative to very like just, you know, owner telling you why you should come to them. And that for me was, okay, we're done. Like the fun was gone. And I also saw, like, I know that had I stayed in radio, I would have been fired eventually or downsized because that's just how it was going. And pretty much everybody I worked with no longer works there anymore, except I think for one or two people. It's kind of sad because I went and visited them about a year ago. Everything had changed. You know, nobody was joking around in the halls or just the joy of it was gone. So I think I was in at a great time and I left when my time was up. And I was happy about that.
I went to school for radio television myself. And
oh, okay.
My big dream was to be either in radio, playing music and interviewing bands, or to become a music
right.
journalist. And radio has changed so much, but everything's automated now. There's not the same vibe there anymore. So, which is why I
yeah.
love podcasting too, you know, because like you're allowed to be a human.
Right. No, it's great. It's so true. That was the problem I saw with radio. Just everything you just said. And I've talked to people on Twitter, or I've seen tweets where it's, why did you get into podcasting? There was one guy, but it was the same story that you just shared with me and that I shared with you. We did it for the love of that medium. And then when we realized that it was changing and not in a good way, we wanted to try our own thing. And that's the nice thing about this, right? You can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can talk to whoever you want. or about whatever you want. And there's no program director who's going to say, I don't really think a Ring doorbell is something our listeners are interested in.
Right, right. So before we get back into like the nuts and bolts of the podcast, I want to talk to you about a show that you've mentioned on your podcast that I'm obsessed with. And this is probably the only reality, with the exception of like the true crime stuff, that I'm really in. And that's Love After Lockup. I'm obsessed with that show.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And it's a train wreck.
Yeah,
and I love
really
train wrecks.
Huh?
You have to, yeah. And then Life After Lockup, which is, of course, their companion television show. Yes, it's a train wreck, and I love it. But, you know, the thing that boggles my mind is that these shows are out. And, you know, I think everyone deserves love. Don't get me wrong. But,
right.
You know, an inmate really has so much to offer when they're released. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was last season when it was Clint. Like, that was just terrible. I mean, she left him for crack on their website.
Yeah, and it doesn't get better. They have a follow-up.
No.
It doesn't
lockup?
Get better. Yeah, it's on Life After Lockup. Yeah, that's. But they chronicle her latest shenanigans, and it's not good. It's not pretty for Tracy. So.
Oh, really?
My
favorite, I thought the most stable one was, seems like I only remember one person in the relationship, though, was Marcelino and Brittany, was it?
Yes.
They seem to be, like, the two most stable people.
Yes, they are. Out of the whole bunch of them, yes, they are.
Yeah, because then there was the couple, the Mormon woman who took her husband from L.A. to Utah and then wanted to steal his passport so he couldn't get back.
Yeah, that's great. That's just like pure mayhem.
Yeah, my wife and I, we PVR it. And she also liked 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, see, I haven't gotten into that yet. That might be another one that I have to watch. But yeah, it's all about the Love After Lockup for
me.
That's
great.
So. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So, moving ahead, how do you record and edit your show? You mentioned GarageBand.
Yeah, I know nothing about audio, so I had to meet a guy who does that for a living. He came over and he hooked it all up, and I use GarageBand on my Mac, and I bought the kit on Amazon, like I said, and then I just edited it using GarageBand, and the theme song that I got and the artwork I did on a website called Fiverr, where you basically pay somebody upwards of $5 to create a logo or create a music for you. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other things on there, but that's how I did it. So like I said, the whole thing only cost me a few hundred dollars.
Yeah, that's not bad. And how often do you like to release episodes and put out on a particular day or a monthly basis?
When I started, I wanted to do it. I had this plan. I was going to do 1 week of me rambling and 1 week of an interview and release it every Monday. And then that kind of just fell apart. I thought the interviews would be easier to get. And then we moved, and I had to take apart my system and didn't get it set up right away. So there was a big gap. So even though I've been doing it for about 2 years, I think I only have about 31 or 32 episodes. So I would like to get back on a regular schedule of releasing every Monday and doing that alternate of one where I ramble and one where I interview somebody. And I think I have two interviews in the near future, so if I could get those done. I also want to get a new computer because right now what happens is it usually crashes on me. So I'm also using an app where I just record on my phone. But the audio is okay, but not great, like using Skype or FaceTime. So
yeah,
that's how I do it. And I do want to get back to every week. Like I said, I thought interviews would be easier, but I do keep forgetting that people are busy. So if I have to ramble, I'll ramble.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. So
no.
You said that you have a couple of potential interviews in store, which is really cool. As far as podcasting goes, how has it changed your life?
Well, what's been nice, I think, is that I've been able to reach out to old friends who've gone on to do these great things and have interesting careers. So I've been able to reconnect with them. And it's also given me the opportunity to become friendly or in some cases become friends with some of the people who I've talked to. Like when I first started, one of my earliest interviews with a drummer named Doug Yowell, or Yowell, I still don't know how to pronounce his name and we're friends, but Doug drums with Joe Jackson. And I've always been a huge, huge Joe Jackson, I've talked about it, I think, on the podcast. So Doug was nice enough to talk to me and grant me this interview. And again, I just reached out to him on, I think it was through his website or on Facebook. And since then, we've become good friends. And he's given my son a drum lesson. He's also toured with Suzanne Vega. And when she was in D.C., he invited us to the show. And that's where he gave my son the drum lesson. And he took us backstage and we met her and some other band members. And then when he was in Harrisburg with Joe Jackson, he gave us backstage passes and he comped us some tickets that I didn't need because I paid for them, but he's just a great guy. So I've been lucky enough to meet people who've become friends and sort of taken me away from the being starstruck by them, I guess, to just realizing they're nice people who just have stories to tell.
Right.
So I think
yeah.
That's a real positive.
Is there anything that's challenging for you in the way of podcasting itself, or is it just like more of the technical and getting people to, you know, schedules aligned and things like that?
I think that definitely is the scheduling and the technical, but I try not to edit a lot. One of the biggest obstacles I found was talking to people I know who know me as a friend or as a coworker or whatever, and I have that, whatever that my personality was in that parcel of life that they know me, they don't look at me as somebody who is capable of, they think it's like I'm just going to joke around with them for, 20 minutes, a half an hour or whatever. And I had one person in particular, I could tell he was hesitant to come on the show because he thought it was just going to be, me reminding him about, our summer camp days. And the reality was I wanted to just talk to him. I mean, I definitely did bring that up. So the hesitation for the people who know me was an obstacle I had to overcome. And then also the fact that, I don't really have a ton of listeners is sort of, when people say they want to be on the show, I'm thrilled. One second, okay, because they're coming onto something where there's maybe like 10 people listening or 20 people. So that, I think, was one of my biggest problems. But I'm hoping to overcome that as it gets to be more, huge and all-encompassing. And I get live shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you were also mentioning in one of your podcasts, and I always ask this question of my guests, what advice would you give to someone who wants to podcast? So what would you like to share?
I would honestly say that if you're going to do it, just do it. Like, don't. One of my biggest faults that I know is a fault is my hesitation to do things. And I was reluctant to do it. And then when I finally, got off my ass and said, I'm going to do it, it wasn't scary. It wasn't daunting. It was just something that was so natural to me. And it didn't cost a lot of money. It required learning about it, and there's so many articles out there on the web that are either the top 10 things you should know before launching a podcast, or there's like pages and pages. I really think just like get off your butt and just do it, because it's rewarding and it's a chance just to talk about what you're passionate about. Like, I found out, I was watching Jeopardy the other day, and there's like a podcast about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, there's like so many niche, like if you think it doesn't exist, it probably does exist, and if it doesn't exist, then go ahead and fill that void, but just do
right.
It, like just, find a way to do it, because it's a really rewarding thing. I find I get a satisfaction after I post it And I have a friend who he's been listening since I started. He's in Wales. And he was actually a guest early on because I met him at a point in my life. We were both really young, and now here we are, the same age roughly. And he's like a tree surgeon in Wales, and he goes around all day and he looks at trees and old trees and young trees and all of that. And it was just nice to talk to him and reconnect. But I know he's listening, and I look forward to his comments. You know, like, I want to know, did Paul like that one?
Right.
And I'm happy when he does, and if he doesn't, then I'm happy that he told me that he didn't, because at least he listened, you know?
Right. If you reach one person or 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people, it doesn't matter as long as you are connecting with an audience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, when we, and maybe you do this too from your experience in radio, one of the things the instructors told us, and our radio station was 20 watts, okay? So your average light bulb has more power than our radio station did. But he said, when you turn the mic on, smile, and always speak as if you're speaking to the largest audience possible. And even when I was, you know, turning on the mic at a 20-watt radio station, I was still speaking, and in my mind, I was talking to, you know, 100,000 people. And even though, like you said, there's only a few people listening, I still treat every one that I do as if it's being broadcast like War of the Worlds.
Mm-hmm. So on that note, do you have anything else to promote either for the podcast or personally?
I mean, I want people to, like, the website's the number 2, the word lazy, the number 2, the word right.com. And on Twitter, I'm at the real John Baker, J-O-N, no H. But reach out to me if you want to be on it. I want to return the favor and have you on one day. So it's on the website. It's also on iTunes or Google Play. And I know there's 100 more outlets that I should get it on, but I don't know how to do that yet.
Well,
yeah.
Great. I enjoyed our conversation, John, and I hope to talk to you soon and be on your show and talk about my crazy life. So
I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to return the favor. This was great. It really was.
Thank you. And thanks to everyone listening to your podcast or mine. We'll chat soon.
Are you a single
Take
mom
care.
Out here trying to maintain a successful career?
I left a message for Margie that research firm in Gramercy Park needs.
Meanwhile, trying to figure out why your baby daddy continues to not help you take care of your child.
Come on, girl.
Rick hasn't even paid child support in long over 2 years. That would make him a deadbeat, am I right?
Maybe you have a teenager. Cut in class, proven she's not falling too far from that tree.
Hey!
You ever want to take that motherfucker? Take that person down?
Sir, put your hands up.
You ever want to help other people take their deadbeats down?
How are you going to become like a child support superhero or something?
You know, he locks me in the closet just to feel big and bold or something.
I got a problem. I think my daughter's mom is hiding something.
Can you help me find my mom?
She left me!
Then Deadbeats is here to help.
What exactly is this?
Deadbeats Professional Services, Cassidy speaking.
What does that mean?
Trust me. Remember the Craigslist killer?
Deadbeats, on iTunes and other podcast platforms. Follow us at deadbeats_INC on Instagram and Twitter.
Pleasure doing business with you.